What's up, COC? You guys excited to be in church this morning? Well, I'm excited to see you here. It's great to have you here this morning. Want to give a special shout out to all the single dads in the house who are holding down the fort while our wives are up at women's retreat. Hope things are going well for you. Hope that, there's only been a couple trips to the emergency room this weekend so far. That would be a successful weekend in my book. I know in our house, we hit kind of a rough patch yesterday around lunchtime, and the kids started to miss mom, and so Savannah, our youngest, she started to cry, I want my mommy to come home, and then you know what happens when the tears start flowing, then our oldest started crying, I want my mommy to come home, and then I started crying, I want your mommy to come home. But good news is we're almost there, coming down the home stretch. Wives should be home, any hour now. So today is week two of our series called Because of You. And in this series, we're focused on the fact that a lot of amazing things are happening in Maricopa, in and through COC, and it's because of you. If you're here last week, you heard Pastor Matt bring it. And he started off the series for us. If you missed that message, you're definitely going to want to catch it online. It was an amazing, amazing message. And he ran the ball down to the one-yard line. And my goal this morning is just to punch it in and get it over the goal line this morning and kind of pick up where he left off. So we'll dive into that in just a minute. But before we do that, first I want to make sure that you guys are caught up on the latest social media trends. So you guys are right there on the cutting edge of social media. So I'm not sure if you guys have seen this, but one of the latest trends is called dog shaming. And I brought a couple of examples with me here this morning. This first one says, I hit a live chicken under the bed. Now, my motto has always been, a live chicken under the bed is better than a dead chicken under the bed. So at least I gotta give the props to the dog for not killing the chicken first. If you like that, you'll like this one. This dog says, I chewed the face off a stuffed elephant. Now, when I first saw that, I'm like, dude, how cold-hearted is that to attack a poor, defenseless, stuffed elephant? But then I really started to look at it, I'm like, how cute is that? How could you not rip the face off a stuffed elephant? Check this one out. It says, I ate all the eggs from mom's tea, but I blame the cat. Now, I'm not much of a dog expert, but I think that one dozen eggs inside that small little dog is a bad combination, right? I'm predicting some more dog-shaming pictures in this dog's future, if you know what I'm saying. This next one says, I took 4 sticks of butter from the grocery bag. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't think this dog's really sorry, right? He doesn't look too ashamed to me. I think that's, you bet I did, and I'd do it again face. Save the best one for last. This dog says, I pooped in the AC vent, and now the whole house smells. And at first, I'm like, yeah, that dog should be ashamed. But then I started to think about it, and I thought, whose fault is that really? Is it the dog or is it the owners for not covering up the AC vent? Maybe they should make the owners hold a sign that said, we forgot to cover up the AC vent. Now the whole house smells. I'm just saying. But seeing that, it made me think, aren't you glad there isn't a website like that for you and me, right? And I'm not talking about Facebook. That's a whole different story. But I can just imagine, Ben forgot to put down the toilet seat again. Ben drank the last of the milk and put the carton back in the fridge. That would not be good, right? Because no one likes to be blamed. When we're being blamed, people are saying, this bad thing happened because of you. No one likes that. Well, this morning, we're going to take it in a completely opposite direction. And the big idea for this morning that I hope you catch is that when our energy and actions and efforts are focused in the right place, there's really some amazing things that can happen because of you. And really, that's been true in the church for thousands of years. Look at what Paul says to the church in Corinth in 2 Corinthians 9. He says, because of the service by which you have proved yourselves, others will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ. and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. Paul's saying to his friends, look, because of you, the gospel is going places it's never gone before. Because of you, people are getting saved, lives are being changed. Because of you, people that you've never even met before are giving thanks and praise to God, and it's all because of you. And I'm telling you, if the Apostle Paul were here this morning, he would say the same thing to us. He would say, celebrators, look, because of you, the gospel is going places that it's never gone before. Because of you, lives are being changed, people are being saved. He says, celebrators, look, because of you, this summer, when a house burned down in Hidden Valley, you rallied together. You helped clean up the property. You made sure that everything was disposed of. You gathered supplies, and you made sure that this person had a place to live. It didn't matter that you didn't know him. You rallied together, and you changed that man's life. It's because of you. Yeah, that's something to get excited about. You'd say, because of you, COC, 89 little kids came to faith in Jesus Christ for the first time. Anyone excited about that? You know, because of you, 200 kids who would go home hungry don't because of your generosity through Power Pack Copa. You'd say, because of you, people halfway around the world that you've never even met before in India and Mexico and Fiji are giving thanks and praise to God. And it's because of you. You know, so I look at these pictures and I hear the stories of what God is doing in and through COC, and that gets me excited. I say, I want to be a part of that. You know, give me some more. What can we do next? You know, and just looking out in the crowd here this morning, thinking of the potential of what we can do with everyone in this room, it just makes me ask the question, like, I wonder how many people even here in this room are called to full-time ministry? Have you ever thought about that question? Maybe not today or tomorrow, but I'm just curious. How many people here in this room would say, you know, I think maybe at some point I'm called to full-time ministry. That's maybe part of the plan that God has for my life. I see a few hands going up. That's good. That's interesting. Hold that thought while we read this verse. This is Ephesians 4, verse 11. It says, so Christ gave himself, Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers to equip God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. Did you catch that in there? Who is it that is equipped for works of service, for the works of ministry? Do you catch that? Who is it? God's people. All right, so let's try this question again. Who here in this room feels like they're called to full-time ministry? Put your hands up. Every hand in this room should be raised right now. Because it doesn't matter where you work or where you get your paycheck from. It's not just pastors and ministers and people that are on staff that are professional Christians that are ministers. It's every single one of us. If you call yourself a child of God, if you are a follower of Jesus, I'm telling you, your job, your role, your identity is that you are a minister of Christ. Your job is to advance the gospel, and it doesn't matter where you work, because wherever you go, whatever you do, our job, our responsibility is to be ambassadors, ministers for Christ. I get one amen. I can tell some of you are kind of skeptical about this. Maybe you're not buying into what God's word says you are. But that's okay. I get it. I understand where you're coming from, because you're going, Ben, if you knew me the way I know me, you'd know there's no way that I could be a minister. You know, the Bible's not really talking about me here. Because if you knew me the way I knew me, you know that I'm not good enough. I'm not smart enough. Got too much baggage. I have too many mistakes that I've made in my past. So I can't be a minister. I'm the loophole. I'm the exception. Sure, maybe the people up on stage, maybe the person sitting down the row from me, but not me. Now, if you've ever had any of those thoughts run through your head, if you've ever bought into that lie that Satan is chirping in your ear, I've got good news for you this morning, and that is that God specializes in using ordinary, average people who feel like they're not good enough. It's true. Just to kind of give you a picture of what I'm talking about, See, in ancient times, when little Jewish boys and girls would go to school, and they didn't have like all the different subjects that we have today. There was just one subject they studied. That was the Torah. And so when Jewish boys and girls went to elementary school or Bet Sefer, as it was called back then, they would just study Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy over and over and over again. They'd read it, they'd write it, they'd practice it, they'd memorize it, they'd learn all about it until they knew it inside and out. And so for most little kids back then, once they finished their education around age 10, they could recite the first five books of the Bible from memory. Now, at that point, most kids would finish their education and they would take up the family trade. But for the best of the best, like the ones who were the brightest, the ones that were the most promising, they would continue their education. They would go on to graduate school or Bet Midrash. And in Bet Midrash, the best and the brightest, they would learn the entire rest of the Old Testament. Then from there, the best and the brightest would be selected, hand-picked by rabbis to become a rabbi's apprentice. This was the highest honor that you could get if you were a Jewish boy or girl. So track with me here. Think back to the Gospels. When Jesus calls his disciples, what are they doing? Are they apprentices? Are they going to rabbi school? No. They're fishermen. They're tax collectors. They're as average, ordinary Joes. So that tells us these guys weren't the best and the brightest. They'd washed out. They'd been passed over. The rabbis looked at these 12 guys and said, "You're not good enough. You don't have what it takes. You can't be one of us." But Jesus looked at those same 12 guys and he said, "Come on, guys, we're going to go change the world. I don't care what they say, you've got what it takes, because when I'm on your side, you can do anything." Amen. In fact, I think it's so interesting what the rabbis say about Peter and John in Acts 4:13. It says, it's talking about the rabbis and the Pharisees, it says, "When they saw the courage of Peter and John, they realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, and they were astonished and took note that these men had been with Jesus." Now, it's kind of interesting. Here in our version where it translates the word ordinary, that's kind of the polite way to say it. That's like the church correct way to translate that word, because the actual word in the Greek is idiotes. Any guesses what word comes from the Greek word idiotes? Idiots. Yeah, in other words, the rabbis are saying, these guys are idiots. You know, how can they be doing these miracles? How can they be teaching with such authority about who God is? I gave that guy a job interview. He's not the sharpest tool in the shed. Where did they come from? What changed? Jesus. It's the only conclusion they come to. They're like, "We don't even like Jesus, but something must have happened when they were hanging around him." So I'm just curious, how many people here would be willing to confess, would be willing to admit, "I am an idiot for Jesus"? That's right, put them up, high and proud. Yeah, it is a good thing to be an idiot for Jesus. Now, if you didn't raise your hand, if you're like, "I'm awesome, and I know it," it's okay. God still loves you. God can still use you, all right? It's okay. It's just that God specializes in using people who are willing to say, "I'm an idiot for Jesus." Because here's the deal. Here's the bottom line. You see, God doesn't call the equipped. He equips the called. You know, when we realize I don't have it all together, I don't have all the answers, I'm not perfect, I'm not the most talented, but we're willing to step out in faith and say, "God, here I am, use me anyway." What happens? God starts to show up and show off through us, and we are driven to our knees and we're going, "God, I don't know how to do this, I need your help." And then we actually do that thing that we didn't think that we could do, and who gets the credit, who gets the glory? Not us, it's all him, because everyone looks at it and goes, "Hey, I know Ben, I know he's not that smart, I know he's not that courageous, I know he's not that talented, there's no way he could have done that on his own, that had to be Jesus." And is there any higher calling? Is there any better investment of our times or our lives than to step out and do something where we have to lean into God, where he gets all the glory and the credit? I can't think of anything better than being an idiot for Jesus and being used by him. So I just want to encourage you this morning, celebrators. The next time you feel yourself or you hear that voice in your head saying, I want to do it, but I can't. I want you to tell yourself, you know what? I can't, but God can. I can't, but God can. I can't lead that life group. I don't know enough. What if they ask me a question? I don't know. What if no one shows up? Guess what? You can't, but God can. I know that there's people out here that are so talented. I know that we have people that have amazing singing voices. And maybe you're saying to yourself, it would be awesome to be up here on this stage leading COC in worship, leading people into God's presence. But you're going, I just don't know if I could do the audition. I heard it's kind of like American Idol. Pastor Matt is like the Simon Cowell of COC. He makes people cry. I can't do it. That's right. You can't, but God can. You know, just up here this morning, we're talking about dreaming and planning to send a team back to India in 2016. And maybe Pastor Matt's up here casting the vision for that. You feel God tugging on your heart and you know, this is my year. This is what God is calling me to do. But then you hear the voice like, oh, it's such a long plane ride and the food and the culture and the time zones. And I just don't know if I could do it. That's right. You can't, but God can. I know there's people here in this room this morning. God is calling you to be involved in junior high ministry, to make an investment in a student's life at that critical juncture in their faith journey. And you're going, I can't do it. God, is it too late to sign up for India? Please, I'll go to India, fine. Just don't, not junior high ministry. Guess what? You can't do it, but through you, God can. God wants to use you to make a difference in someone else's life. So please, if you don't hear anything else I say this morning, don't let your fears and your insecurities hold you back from what God has planned for you. Because I'm telling you, if you're not serving and using the gifts that God has given you to bless other people and make an investment in God's kingdom and be a part of what God is doing here at COC, you are missing out on God's best for your life. Yeah, because that is how God designed you. He didn't design you to serve yourself. He designed you to serve others and to bless others through you. So this morning, I know there's a lot of different reasons why we might not serve or get plugged into ministry. I just want to touch on some of the big ones that I hear a lot. So the first one is that the church doesn't need me. Church doesn't need me. And I know the church doesn't need me because I show up here every Sunday and everything's all set to go, right? The coffee's hot and waiting for me. There's people already waiting, ready to check my kids in and to entertain them and teach them about Jesus, that, you know, the service flows smoothly. So obviously they don't need me. And besides, just look around, like, it doesn't take that many people to pull this off. Like, it's probably just Pastor Josh and Pastor Matt and a couple other people. You know, they don't need me. It's so obvious. So I'm just going to sit back and watch, or I'm going to sit on the sidelines and let other people do their thing. You know, if you've ever had that kind of thought run through your head, I thought maybe we could just do something fun this morning. Play a little guessing game. How many people do you think it takes to pull off church at COC on a Sunday morning? All right, 50, all right? And if anyone else, 50, going once, going twice, 60, 70, 75, 100, all right. Actual number, when you add up all the different ministries and the setup and the takedown, 133 people. You think about the fact that's not the same 133 people every week, because they would get tired really fast. Those are like 133 different slots that need to be filled each and every week. You know, so just imagine with me what it would be like if all 133 of those people called in sick on the same Sunday. Actually, you don't have to imagine. That's what happens when the women go on the women's retreat, right? Just saying, it's been a rough week trying to get volunteers. No, but if none of our volunteers showed up this morning, what would happen? You know, just imagine that our prepare team didn't show up at 6:30 this morning to unload all the stuff that you see and all the stuff that we use and all the stuff that makes COC what COC is. You'd have walked in the front doors this morning and go like, is church canceled? They forget to tell me about it? Imagine our guest services team just decided to sleep in this morning. Yeah, that cup of coffee that you're holding in your hand right now, let's go ahead and dump it out on the ground because that wouldn't be here for you. That program that you're using right now, just go ahead and rip it up because that wouldn't be here for you. This next one, I'm a little scared to even say it out loud just because it might come true. But what if none of our Sea City volunteers showed up one Sunday morning? Can you imagine what that might look like and what that might sound like and what might happen if, oh, we don't have to imagine, it's happening. The kids are loose. Hi, sweetie. All right, see you later. See you at home. Take care of your brother for me. I see the panic look on the parents' faces like, oh my goodness, they're supposed to be in class right now. And see, if no other reason, this is why you need to volunteer, because Pastor Josh will take care of your kids for you. So parents, I just want you to give our volunteers an extra big hug when you pick up your kids today, all right? Because just remember, oh my goodness. Gives a whole new meaning to the word church of celebration. You know, it's not just our Sea City volunteers. What if our media team didn't show up this morning? What if there was no, videos or music or anything on the screen, no message notes, no lyrics to the song? You might realize you don't know the words to those songs as well as you think that you do. Or how about our band? What if the band just decided to take a week off? We become one giant a cappella group. And trust me, that wouldn't be pretty. I've heard some of you sing, it's not good. What if our lighting volunteers just decide not to show up one week? See, some of you didn't even know we had lighting volunteers, but yeah, they make the lights go up and down and actually make it so you can see what's going on in church. What if our audio team didn't show up one week and I had to shout? Yeah, the people in back think that's great. They're like, all right, now I can go to sleep again. But for the rest of you that actually want to hear what Pastor Josh has to say, our audio team is really, really important. All right, so we're just having some fun with that. But think about the fact that COC is what it is because of the people. COC is what it is because of the people that give of their time and their talents and their resources to pull this off every week. And it's a big job, a lot bigger than you realize when you're just sitting in the seats. So trust me, with 133 different opportunities to serve, we have a place for you at COC to get plugged in and get involved. And I'm telling you, when you put some skin in the game, when you take some ownership of what's going on, it just takes your level of experience here at COC to a whole new level. If you love what's going on at COC, if God has used COC to impact your life, but you're just experiencing it from these seats, I'm telling you, there is a whole nother level that God wants to take you to, and it's called getting involved, getting off the bench, and getting in the game. Second reason why we might choose not to volunteer is because we say, been there, done that, hated it, right? Obviously, that wouldn't be anyone at COC because all our volunteers love it all the time, and they always show up with smiles on their faces. Yeah, we have amazing volunteers. But maybe some of you have come from different church backgrounds and you've had some experiences that were less than, positive. Maybe you had a pastor that got up in front of the church and just made you feel so guilty. You're like, fine, I'll serve. I'll help out in the stupid church. I think I read that somewhere in the Gospels, right? Jesus said, fine, I'll wash your stupid feet. I'll heal your stupid disease. No, he didn't do that. You know, so of course, if we're serving because we feel like we have to or because we feel like someone's making us, of course we're not going to want to do it. And I get it. I understand where you're coming from, because maybe you showed up one week and they said, all right, we need someone in the two-year-old nursery. So they stuck you in there, locked the door and said, good luck. We'll see you in 2 hours. No, that's no fun. I get it, because trust me, you do not want me watching your kids. God did not wire me, to work with little kids. They're smelly and sticky and they spill stuff. And, you know, it's just not good. Now, understand, I love my kids. My kids are awesome. It's your kids that are the problem, all right? I don't know what you're teaching them at home, but oh my goodness. You know, so believe me, if you volunteer at COC and you go, I don't want to work in the nursery, we don't want you working in the nursery. We will find someplace else for you to serve, because we want you to be in your sweet spot. We want you to be in that place where you're going, you know, I was born for this. I was made for this. That means that you are in the place where you're using the gifts and the abilities that God has given to you. And when you're in that sweet spot, then it's not an I have to serve. It's an I get to serve. It's like, I can't wait to go back again to COC on Sunday morning and use the gifts and watch God use me to make an impact on someone else's life. You know, just the fact that you're sitting here this morning, that you're here at COC, tells me that God brought you here for a reason. You know, that there is a purpose for you being here. For however long that season is, that God has a plan for you here at COC, and we want to help you discover what that plan and what that purpose is. We want to help you figure out where you fit in the body of Christ here at COC. And so we have this event coming up next week called Backstage Pass. We do it during the 9 o'clock service, so you're already coming to church, so you might as well sign up for it anyway. But what Backstage Pass is designed to do is to help you discover your passions and talents and figure out where those fit in ministry here at COC. So we take a one-hour guided tour and we check out all the different ministries, and we go up in the media booth and backstage and over to C-City, and we show you all those 133 opportunities and help you figure out, okay, where's going to be the best fit for you? And forget even just the 133 opportunities we have on a Sunday morning. There's opportunities during the week and in the office and all the different ministries that we have. So believe me, if you're here, if you can hear my voice this morning, we have a place for you at COC. And we'd love to help you find that place. If you haven't signed, if you don't know what that place is, take the sign-up card for Backstage Pass, drop it in a bucket out at the guest services table. Or if you want, if it's easier for you, go to our website and you can fill out the registration form in 30 seconds. It's just that easy. Another reason why people I hear say that they don't want to serve is because they say, I can do it later. I can do it later. I've got time. You know, I'm going to serve when the kids are older. I'm going to serve when I retire. I'm going to serve when things slow down at work. I'm going to serve when my life just gets easier. I'm going to serve when football season is over. I've got good news for you. If you're a Seahawks fan, your season's already over. So, hey, you can start serving right now. And I get to say that because I am a Seahawks fan. So I'm not picking on them. I'm just preaching the truth in love to my fellow brothers and sisters here this morning. You can suffer through a whole season, you know, get mad at the TV, or you can hang out with us here on Sunday morning. It's your choice. Just saying. Right? But we all have different reasons, different excuses. You know, I'm going to serve when. You know, but if I could maybe just illustrate the reason why that's kind of a fallacy or not a good way to think about the life that God's given us. Just imagine with me for a minute, this string represents your life. All right? But none of us want to have a short life. We want to have a long life. So we're going to stretch this baby out this morning and see how good my arm is. Unfortunately, my stage prop people didn't get a chance to deflate my ball properly, so I don't know how good this throw is going to be. So, all right. So I'm just saying, I'm putting this whole section on warning. This could be coming your way, all right? You ready? All right, here we go. Oh, almost made it to the back row. All right. Help me out if you could just put some tension on that for me. All right, so here we go. Let's imagine that this is your life. So if this is where you're born, and way over there is where your life ends, you realize that the Bible tells us that right here is where you die. We don't think about that too often, do we? We think about our life, our 70, our 80 years that we have, and we feel like this is our life here on earth, don't we? We feel like I got all the time in the world. But check out what James 4:14 says. It says, "You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes." See, the problem is we just look at our life from the perspective of life here on earth. But God looks at your life and my life from the perspective of eternity. And he says, you know what? When you and I are hanging out in eternity someday, wait, you trying to make eternity shorter or what's going on? You should be making it longer, not shorter. But when God, when you and I are, you know, someday all hanging out in heaven together, and we've been there for like 100,000 years, which is only about to right here on our timeline, we're going to look back on this and go, man, that went by so fast. It was like a blink of an eye. And so when we start looking at our life from this perspective rather than this perspective, we realize, you know what? There is no later. I don't want to wait till later. I want to start investing in stuff that matters now. I want to make my life count. Because guess what? There's some things in life that we can invest our time, our talents, our energies, our resources in that end right here. But then there's other things that we can invest our life in that are going to last with us forever. So what are you investing your life in? You know, are you making every moment count? Are you investing in stuff for here? Are you invested in stuff for here? Hey, can we give a hand to my yarn volunteers over there? So I know you're really hoping for a ball of yarn, and look, God answered your prayer, so congratulations. All right, I'm going to shift gears on you from maybe some of the reasons why we don't volunteer to some of the reasons why we need to get plugged in and find our sweet spot in ministry. First one is that every person is important. Every person is important. Look at 1 Corinthians 12. It says, "Just as the body, though one, has many parts, but all of its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For if the foot should say, 'Because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body,' it would not for that reason stop being a part of the body. And if the ear should say, 'Because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body,' it would not for that reason stop being a part of the body." So imagine with me, you walked into the auditorium this morning, you go to sit down, and you found a severed hand or a foot waiting for you in your seat. What would you do? You take off running in the other direction, right? Except for Steve, I think maybe he'd be like, "Hey, this is cool. I'm going to use this in my trunk or treat trunk." But you know, however you react, like we all agree, dismembered body parts are gross. They're disgusting. So think about what Paul's saying here. He's saying if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, but you're not connected to the body, you haven't found your sweet spot. You haven't found that place where you fit in and where you're making a difference and you're making an impact in other people's lives. You're like a severed hand or a severed foot. It's gross. It's disgusting. That's just not the way it's supposed to work. And not only is it gross, but have you ever seen a severed hand do anything that is useful or productive? Right? Has a hand ever changed a light bulb or built a house all by itself? No. The hand needs the body and the body needs the hand. Paul keeps going. He says, "If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed all the parts of the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body." So here it is, celebrators. As followers of Christ, you can never reach your full potential of everything that God has created you to be separate from the body of Christ. See, because God has designed you to be a part of something that is bigger than yourself. And the flip side is just as true. COC, the Church of Celebration, we can never be everything that God is calling us to be. We can never accomplish everything that God is calling us to do without all the body parts working together, without everyone doing their role. You know, I discovered this in kind of a painful way when I was in fourth grade. We had a sidewalk out beside my house that went down this really steep hill. And so one day my friend and I were taking turns sitting down on the skateboard and riding to the bottom of the hill, and we'd come back up and switch and take turns. Well, we got tired of taking turns, and so we decided to ride down, you know, double bobsled style down this hill. The only thing is, we didn't realize that when you put two kids on the same skateboard, you go twice as fast and twice as far. So here we are, picking up steam, headed towards an intersection. We're about to become roadkill. And the only thing that saved us was that at the bottom of the sidewalk, it kind of buckled, which formed this nice little launch ramp. That was the good news. The bad news was that the skateboard landed on my hand and ripped off completely these two fingernails. Let me tell you, in that moment, I discovered fingernails are really important. Right? You never think about your fingernails until they're gone. Then you realize they're really important. And I just want to say to you this morning, maybe you feel like you're just a fingernail on the body of Christ. Maybe you feel like it doesn't matter what I do or don't do. Like no one notices, like whether I get involved or not. Like it doesn't matter. It's just like life goes on. Let me tell you this morning, you're not just a fingernail. You are a fingernail on the body of Christ. And that is a big deal. What you do is important. What you do matters. What you do is a part of something bigger than you. We need you because God has made it, because God designed it that way. Now, I kind of think about it like this. We got Trunk or Treat coming up just around the corner, right? So let's imagine that you invite one of your neighbors to come check out Trunk or Treat. And they would never come to COC. They're not into the whole church thing, but they say, hey, free candy, you know, something to do with the kids, let's go. The only problem is they don't realize that, like, the entire city of Maricopa is going to be there, right? So they get there late, and the line's stretched up. They're, like, waiting out on 347 to go through the line. And it's hot, and the kids are itchy, and they're whining, and they're tired, and they want to go home. They're like, oh, let's just go. Just as they're about to leave, some volunteers come through the line with free hot dogs. And they're like, all right, that hit the spot. By the time they finish their hot dogs, they're moving through the line. They start to see other families that they know from school and soccer. One of those COC families invites them to come to church on Sunday morning. Mom and dad are about to be like, no, we're busy that day. But the kids are like, yeah, we want to go. It's like, all right, fine, we'll give it a try. They show up Sunday morning at COC. Mom's still kind of nervous, like, I don't know about leaving our kids with these religious freaks, right? But they show up, and the CCD volunteer that checks them in, they look nice and normal, and they escort them over to their kids' classrooms. And when they get to the classroom, the kids see friends from school. They take off. They don't even say goodbye to mom and dad. They're like, all right, I guess we're in it now. We got to come back and pick them up in an hour. So they come over to the service. The lights go down. The worship starts, and the band is just rocking it. The worship pastor's wearing Chewbacca on his t-shirt. They're like, this isn't like any church I've been to before. You know, Pastor Josh gets up here and he starts preaching the word. And you know that he's feeling it because we get a few extras from one of these. Right? So he's just bringing it like the Holy Spirit is speaking through him. The end of the service comes, the band starts to play, and they're inviting people to come forward. And they feel the Holy Spirit tugging on their heart. They know this is their moment. They know that the alarm clock's going off, and they hear it, and they think, oh, God's telling me I got to go down. No, they just know that there's been something missing in their life, and this is it. So they come down, they pray with one of our prayer counselors, and they step over that line from spiritual death to spiritual life. Now, obviously, I just made that whole scenario up, but you know, we hear stories like that all the time, variations of that story here at COC. So I just want to ask the question, in those situations, who is it that gets the credit for that life change? Right? Is it you? Is it me? Is it Pastor Josh? Is it the prayer counselors? Guess what? We have never done anything. We have never changed any life here at COC by ourselves. See, because here it is. When it comes to the body of Christ, it is not a he or a she that gets the credit. It's a we. It's a we. Because God designed it so that we can't do anything on our own. It's not a bunch of random people running around here at COC on a Sunday morning. It's not a bunch of random body parts crawling around. It is a we. We're doing it together. It's the body of Christ. And when the body of Christ is working the way that God designed it to work, it is a beautiful thing. It is a powerful thing. It is a life-changing thing. So where do you fit in the body? Are you a head, a hand, a foot, a spleen? I don't know. But I do know this. We need you. I know that God has called you here for a purpose and that we can never be all that God has called us to be without you doing your part. Second reason why you need to find your sweet spot in ministry is that every person is unique. Every person is unique. Did you know that the chances that someone else on this planet would have the exact same DNA code as you is 10 to the 2.4 billionth power to one? Isn't that crazy? I don't know how they figured that out, but I read it on Wikipedia, so it must be true. You know, 2.4 billionth power, that is like a crazy big number. But just to help you kind of wrap your mind around how big that number actually is, if you wrote that number out on a piece of paper and every numeral was like 1 inch wide, that number would be 37,000 miles long. That's how unique you are. It's just another way of saying there was no one else like you in the history of the world. You know, even before scientists told us that this was true, God's word has been telling us this is true for thousands of years. Look at Psalm 139. It says, "You created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb." I remember when I was a kid, every year for Christmas, we'd get a set of slippers knit by my great-grandma. Everyone in the whole family got a pair. The moms, the dads, the uncles, the grandmas, the grandpas, the cousins, the brothers, the sisters, everyone got a pair. Which meant we'd open them up on Christmas Day, and then December 26th, Grandma would start knitting them again for next Christmas. You know, and that made things kind of interesting during the teenage years because, you know, Grandma would have our shoe size, and she'd start knitting the slippers, and then next Christmas would roll around, and my feet would have grown like three sizes, like, thanks for these slippers, Grandma, that barely cover my feet. Like, maybe we'll use them as pot holders this year. I don't know. You know, but the one thing I learned from that experience is that knitting something takes time. And when you knit something, no two things are ever alike. They're not the same. And so when God tries to describe to us how he created you and how much time and energy and investment and creativity and how much of it himself he poured out into you, he doesn't say, I mass-produced you. He doesn't say, I put you on the assembly line. He says, I knit you together. Because when I made you, I took my time. I made you different than anyone else that I've ever made in the history of the world. Yeah. That's something to get excited about. Because what that means, COC, is that you are irreplaceable. It means that no one else in this room can do what you would do just the way that you would do it. Yeah. It means that God created you on purpose and for a purpose. That the way that you think, the way that you interact with people, your personality, like all that stuff, he created on purpose. Right? Some of you he made people-oriented on purpose. Others he made task-oriented on purpose. So that's why some of you this morning, when you walked into COC, you said, you know what, those tables aren't set up right. Someone should do something about that. Others of you, you were completely oblivious to the tables, right? But you noticed that person standing over in the corner, and you said, you know, I don't think they've been here before. Someone should go talk to them. And of course, the people person said, well, you just don't love people the way I do. And the table person said, well, you don't care about honoring God the way that I do. Guess what? God created both of you on purpose and for a purpose because God needs both. COC needs both. And every person is unique, and God wants to use us for who we are. He doesn't want you to be anyone else. He wants you to be an original version of you. Third reason why we need to jump in and find our spot, find where we fit here at COC, it's because it's not about you. Pastor Matthew Barnett pastors a church out in LA, and one of their ministries is called the Dream Center. It's a shelter that serves 50,000 people every month. And so I heard him tell the story one time. He had a woman come into his office for counseling, and she said, Pastor, I think I'm having a nervous breakdown. And I've listened to Oprah, I've listened to Dr. Phil, I've tried everything they say, nothing works. What do I do? He said, all right, here's what we're going to do. I want you to go home tonight, bake as many cookies as you can. Tomorrow, bring them back to the Dream Center and pass them out till they're gone. She said, no, Pastor, you don't understand. I'm not asking you what I can do for other people. I want to know, how do I fix my problem? She said, besides, I have a PhD. I don't have time to bake cookies. That's a waste of my time. He said, well, you tried everything else, right? What could it hurt to give this a try? So reluctantly, she agreed, but he kind of thought, well, that's the last I'm going to see of her. Turns out that next week, he saw her at church, and he said, you know, what happened? You missed your appointment last week. She said, Pastor, I got so busy baking cookies and blessing other people, I forgot all about my problems. Isn't it that the way that it works? I mean, we live in a society that tells us it's all about me, 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 and how do I get more, more, more for myself? But it turns out Jesus actually knew what he was talking about when he said it's more blessed to give than receive. Right? Because the more that we try and hang on to stuff for ourselves and the more we try and put ourselves first, it's like the more we feel like we need to have and the more we feel like we need to hold on tightly to what we have so that we can enjoy it. But it's like the more we get, the less we enjoy it. And when we actually serve and when we actually give and we actually take Jesus up on his word when he says that if you want to be the greatest among you, you need to be the servant of all. Turns out that we actually find joy and purpose and fulfillment in living out the way that God told us, you know, life works from the beginning. So I hope you hear this from my heart this morning as we talk about serving and ministry and finding your place, finding your sweet spot in ministry, that I say all this not because we want something from you, it's because we want something for you. We want you to experience the joy and the thrill of knowing that the God of the universe is using you to advance his kingdom and impact lives. Like, it doesn't get any better than that. Just thinking about it sends chills down my spine, and we want that for you. Don't miss out on God's best for your life because you're sitting on the sideline. Jump into ministry here at COC. Find your spot because we have a place for you. Let's pray together. Father God, thank you for being a give first, a love first, a serve first kind of God. Jesus, we know that if there is anyone in the history of the world that had the right to be, had the attitude that it's all about me and that others should serve me, it was you. Because it is all about you. But even in those moments before you were headed to the cross and you were about to give the greatest act of service that anyone has ever known, you stooped down, you took off your outer clothes, and you washed your disciples' feet to show us that, guess what? It's not about us. It's not about me. It's about others first. And in that, we find our meaning and our purpose and our fulfillment. I thank you, God, that you would look at a broken bunch of people like we have here collected in this room and go, you know what? I can use you. this morning as we walk out the door, I know that the Satan's gonna try and get in our ear and discourage us and go, you know what, you can't do it, you can't do it. Holy Spirit, would you speak to us, counteract that lie and go, you know what, you can do it because you are my child, you are my son, you are my daughter. Jesus, we love you. Pray this in your name. Amen.